Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Franchise Interviews. For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 7 years now, we've been asking the French entrepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Chip Paul, founder of Palm Beach Vapors. And Palm Beach Vapors is a pioneer in the e-cigarette vapor market, and we'll speak to Chip about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing: helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities, or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 7 years now, we've been asking the Franchepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Chip Paul, the founder of Palm Beach Vapors. And Palm Beach Vapors is a pioneer in the e-cigarette vapor market, and we're going to talk to Chip about that right now. Hey Chip, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good, Marty. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Chip. It's great to have you on the show. I've been very interested in this concept when I first heard about it, so I'm really excited to have you on the show today. Well, I'd like to ask our guest, where are you calling from this morning?
Calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, so that's where our corporate headquarters are.
Oh, okay, fantastic. How's the weather there today, Chip?
It's actually supposed to be a beautiful day here today. It's supposed to be in the 60s, but I understand. Are you on the East Coast?
Yes, I am. We're getting killed right now, actually. We're indoors for a couple days. Yeah, it's pretty bad here. I mean, it's pretty, you know, when the snow's coming down, but everything is pretty much ice, you know, as it hits the ground. It's just been so cold. So it's been a very strange winter, you know. So I think everyone's looking forward to spring. But it sounds like weather's great there today, so that's fantastic. I was mentioning earlier, you know, I'm fascinated in this concept. You know, I'm a former ex-smoker, you know, so it's just such an interesting concept, and I think this concept has been gaining a lot of popularity, you know, over the last year or two. Maybe you could describe the history of Palm Beach Vapors, Chip.
Sure, I'd love to, Marty. Basically, the way Palm Beach Vapors was started or conceptualized, the three principals in the business, two of us are ex or were smokers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a cigar smoker, so I smoked about three premium cigars a day. Yeah, so I was spending a lot of money on cigars.
Sure.
Basically, we all three quit using Burr. And for whatever reason, Tulsa's kind of been the epicenter of the vapor craze, I would say. We've had vapor stores here in Tulsa for probably about 4 years.
That's fascinating.
And so... Yeah, one of the first vapor stores to come into Tulsa, that was where all three of us would go to get our stuff, our batteries and tanks and juice. And the customer service in there was just terrible. And, you know, you'd walk in and you'd feel like you were walking into a skateboard shop or a head shop. And it just wasn't very warm and inviting. It wasn't inviting at all for, you know, a professional-type person to walk in.
Right.
Personally, I mean, I felt intimidated walking in.
Sure.
So the three of us got together and we said, hey, you know, we can do this better and let's just try and open a little vapor shop, you know, up in a suburb of
right.
Tulsa. And so we came up with a concept, and the concept was kind of a beachy, real open, airy, mm-hmm. light, you know, bright, vibrant colors, made it real welcoming and inviting.
Right.
And opened our doors, and really, that store has made money every day that it's been open. I mean, it's just been absolutely phenomenal and crazy. You know, that's kind of how we got started. So there you go.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's a great story, too. I love these stories. I teach marketing at Kaplan University, you know, and it's just it's ironic. We're talking about the importance of creating a welcoming environment, you know, and that is so important, isn't it? You know, it's interesting how, you know, you took your situation and you were able to identify this need in the market, you know, and now you're satisfying this need. Because I'm sure that there was a lot of people out there just like you, you know, and your wife who went into these places and they felt like intimidated, you know. So I think that's so important, you know, that you were able to satisfy that need. So I think that's great. You're listening to Franchise Interviews, and we're speaking with Chip Paul, the founder of Palm Beach Vapors. And maybe you could talk a little bit about, well, maybe we could talk a little bit about even, like, the product itself, Chip. I know there's a nice variety of, like, different flavors and things like that that you offer at Palm Beach Vapors, which I find fascinating.
Sure. So what we've done is something that's a little bit different on the product end. So all of the, basically the components that you need to, you know, kind of complete an e-cigarette purchase are you need a battery.
Mm-hmm.
And the batteries that we sell are all rechargeable. So, you know, you can basically, once you make the investment, you can use that forever.
Right.
And you need a tank. And the tank holds the liquids, and we've got a wide variety of run from sort of a disposable tank that you would throw away in 2 weeks all the way to a very, very nice tank that would really kind of last you forever.
Wow.
And the thing that we've done in our hardware is we've made sure that all the parts are interchangeable. So no matter what type of battery or tank you buy, they will fit each other. So if you start with a kind of a basic battery, basic tank, and you upgrade your battery, your tank is mm-hmm. still going to fit that battery. So it's a nice system. And all the hardware currently right now, and this is in any vape shop, comes from China. And we have learned some very hard lessons along the way about dealing with China. But what we've done is we've formed a sourcing company that it's not owned by us, but we've done it with some help from some friends. But that mm-hmm. that company has an office in Hong Kong, and then and a warehouse in Hong Kong, and then also has an office here in Oklahoma and a warehouse here in Oklahoma. So what we do is before we purchase any hardware from China, we have the sourcing company go and tour the factory where we would be purchasing from. They tour the factory. They make sure that it's quality. They make sure that, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a, you know, three guys and their mom over there.
Sure.
It's a real deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, make sure it's reputable. And so we do that before we purchase any product from any factory. And then the other nice thing about having them is they basically purchase products for us, and then they warehouse it here in the U.S. And so what that the kind of competitive advantage that gives our franchisees is they're able to receive product instead of ordering it from China, where it would take 4 to 6 weeks to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
They literally can get their product within a couple of days if they need to. So on the operations end, it makes it a lot easier on the stores. Now, on the liquid side, what we've done is we've created a liquid system that is somewhat proprietary,
mm-hmm.
But we are able to offer, and again, our liquids are all like U.S. kosher-grade food products.
Wow.
So there's basically four components that go into our liquid. One of them is nicotine, and you can mm-hmm. get our liquids in a zero-level nicotine with no nicotine in it.
Okay.
But we've created this system where it's very easy for our franchisees to create basically these liquids on site. And we've got 150 basic flavors that we offer.
Wow.
So like I'm vaping on salted caramel right now. It's great.
Wow.
But we can mix and match any of those flavors to create just literally hundreds of thousands of flavor combinations. So like if you liked, you know, blueberry, strawberry, cheesecake, well, we've got blueberry and we've got strawberry and we've got cheesecake. So we can combine those flavors to make you your blueberry, strawberry, cheesecake.
It's incredible. I mean, when you talk about it, you know, it's you know, even with the flavor chip, I mean, I was amazed at all the different flavors that are available out there. What's your favorite? I mean, do you have a favorite flavor? And what's been like the popular or most popular flavors?
Oh, I'd say probably one of our most popular flavors would be the cinnamon red hot flavor.
Really?
It tastes like a cinnamon red hot.
Wow,
but
those are
great. I kind of like the more warm flavors, so I like
mm-hmm.
salted caramel, and we have one called vanilla cupcake that I like. And now Cindy, my wife, and Angie, our partner, they like the more fruity flavors. So we've got some.
Right.
Custom flavors that we've made, that like Bahama Breeze, that's, you know, got a little strawberry and coconut in it, and there's just a myriad of wonderful flavors, and it's great, really, for people who are wanting to quit smoking. Incidentally, we've got about a 90-95% success rate on helping people quit smoking, and that's really what we're committed to, is we just see this as the best method ever to come along for quitting smoking. And what we do in our stores is kind of thing. We have a pledge. So if someone comes in and they bring in their last pack of cigarettes or half a pack or one or, you know, their last can of Skoal or whatever it is, they come in, they bring that in, and they sign our pledge. And we have a pledge wall in our stores, and so there's literally a wall just plastered with these things. But we give them 25% off their first kit that they buy, and so that helps them kind of get started. And it's tremendously successful. It's really a kind of a neat business.
It is a neat business. You know, I mean, you know, when you look at the numbers, you can see the tremendous potential in this business when you look at the actual market size. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you're also doing something really good, aren't you? You know, because as you know, it's very difficult to quit smoking, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And this just kind of gives you a transitional method to do that. And it's so, you know, for instance, Cindy is kind of a great example. So Cindy, my wife, was a pack-a-day smoker for, I don't know, 12, 15 years.
Right, right.
She quit using vapor. Now, before she quit, I mean, she literally could not run a block.
Right.
But she quit about 2 years ago using vapor, and now she's a daily runner. I mean, she
That's
runs
amazing.
3 miles a day. Yeah, and so everybody's always talking about how, you know, is vapor harmful, and, you
mm-hmm.
know, is it, and I think the book's still out on how harmful it is, but clearly, it is by far way better than tobacco smoke.
Than tobacco smoke.
There's no question about that. So, so it's neat. And, you know, I've got a friend of mine. He's a ex-postal worker,
mm-hmm.
smoked for 45 years. He tried patches, he tried gum, he tried acupressure, he got hypnotized. He tried everything in the world to quit.
Nothing
and
worked.
Couldn't. And, yeah, was able to quit using vapor about 4 months ago, and he hadn't smoked a cigarette in 4 months, which is just unbelievable.
Wow. It is. It's amazing, Chip, when you hear these stories. Yeah, it is. It's inspirational, you know, to show, you know, how it works. And it's going to be interesting over time, too, you know, when you start taking market research, you know, when you start expanding throughout the United States and see, you know, what are the most popular flavors in certain parts of the country. You know, you wonder if there's going to be differences. And it's going to be interesting to see what other flavors you come up with over time, too. You know, it really is. It's quite fascinating. How has technology played a role in this business, Chip?
Oh, it plays a huge role, and it's
mm-hmm.
not real complicated technology. I mean,
right.
Basically, the batteries kind of operate like a flashlight, I guess, if you
okay.
will.
Right.
But there's intelligence. it's a little bit hard to explain, but basically, the
mm-hmm.
vapor is created by when the liquid is drawn through a wick, and the wick is wrapped with an electromagnetic coil.
Right.
So there's some nuances in that, just as far as like resistance in the coil and, you know, how much vapor is created by different resistances. And so what's happening now is the batteries are getting more intelligent. So they're able
right.
to sense the resistance in the coil, and then they can provide the absolute perfect voltage to create, you know, the amount of vapor that you want, which is really cool. And those batteries, you know, we have kind of the basic flashlight battery, and then, you know, on the higher end, we've got these very intelligent batteries that we offer. So it plays a pretty significant role. And then they're always coming out with new, like, coil and wick systems
mm-hmm.
that are better and better. So.
And it saves the customer money, too, doesn't it? I mean, it's not like, you know, I know that they have the you know, the electronic cigarettes, I guess today you can buy like in a convenience store, but it must get expensive, you know, buying them over and over again. You know, that you know, most cases when you buy like the different brands, I mean, they're not really rechargeable. You kind of just dispose of them, you know, after it's done, you know, the battery runs out and then you throw it out and then I guess you get a new pack. So this is different. You know, I like the ability that you're able to recharge it yourself, you know, and of course you end up saving money that way, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the convenience store cigarettes we kind of view as an entry point really into our market. So most
right.
people use those about 30 days, and they either go back to smoking or they kind of come see us.
Mm-hmm.
But it costs – so what's kind of required to get smoking is – and, again, I mean, this is kind of a customer service thing that, again, we pride ourselves on, but we want to mm-hmm. educate people on what they actually need to
right.
quit smoking. So – what they get when they first want to quit is they get a kit that's got two batteries and two tanks. It's got a recharger, the kit itself, and it's got a lanyard and a bottle of juice in it. And that kit costs about what a carton of cigarettes would cost.
Wow,
so basically, for the investment of a carton of cigarettes, you're good to go. Now, on a pack-a-day smoker will use about maybe a bottle of juice a week, mm-hmm. and a bottle of juice is $7.95, and they'll go
wow.
through maybe a coil every 2 weeks, which is $2.95. So basically they're spending, you know, $10 a week where they, you know, were spending, if they're a pack-a-day smoker, you know, a lot more than that, $20 a week. So
right.
it almost cuts the cost in half.
That's amazing. Are there numbers on the industry or what industry you're in, Chip? I mean, this is got to be a huge industry. I mean, I know when we're talking about smoking or, you know, I guess there's different segments. I mean, have you found any hard numbers as far as how big the industry is?
Yeah, it's going to be 20 million, I believe,
mm-hmm.
vapors by 2017. Wells Fargo
by 2017.
Has a specific. Yeah, I don't have them right in front of me, but it is a significant amount of the cigarette population is moving toward vapor, and it's just growing exponentially.
And that's what I love about the
yeah,
industry,
and it's,
too,
it's,
is the growth, yeah.
Yeah, it's also interesting that you said that. It's been somewhat challenging as a franchisor to initially, when we initially did our FDD, we didn't have the item 19, which discloses
mm-hmm.
financial information
sure.
in our FDD. And well, that makes it difficult to talk about our business because there's no industry standards out there. So you can't
right.
say, oh, well, our gross margins are right in line with industry standards.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
But so we've since fixed that. I mean, we've put an item 19 in our FDD. And it's staggering, really, from just a business perspective. So
mm-hmm.
our little store in, you know, Owosso, Oklahoma, with four competitors right around us, that store does incredibly, incredibly well. It, you know, gross margins on a store run 65% to 70%. It's just, you know, it's really, really a good little business.
That's fantastic. You're listening to Franchise Interviews, and we're speaking with Chip Paul, the founder of Palm Beach Vapors. What types of characteristics, Chip, will you be looking for in your franchisees?
Well, I think primarily, you know, that passion to help people and
mm-hmm.
really customer service, customer focus. Those are the stores that do the best, where there's that huge customer service component. Because what happens is people come in and they want to quit smoking, and they don't know anything about electronic cigarettes.
Right.
And
right.
it's confusing. There's a ton of stuff, you know.
Sure.
And they need to be basically fitted for kind of the right kit based on how much they smoke. And then they need
right.
to be fitted to the right level of nicotine based
right.
on how much they smoke. So, and it, you know, we do all that. But it's, you really have to have kind of that passion for helping people,
sure.
and passion for customer service, I think, to do very, very well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What would the training be like? I mean, once someone, you know, you decide that, you know, you like them, you think they're a match, and they like you, and they want to move forward, how's the training work, Chip? Do they come out to Oklahoma? Do they come out to headquarters?
Uh-huh. Yes, we bring them in to headquarters, bring them in. It's a three-day training session.
Okay.
We take them through everything that they need to know about the business, totally educate them on all the products. We do some customer service training. We do a little bit of, like, business, you know, general business training. We take them to the store. We actually, you know, have them tour the store, but then also watch the store in operation. We spent some time on our POS, that type of thing. But it's very, you know, customer-focused. So we try to give our franchisees the education that they need to be able to educate their customers, and that's the primary focus of the training.
Oh, sure, absolutely. What is it, if you can paint the picture of, you know, what would a typical day be like as a franchisee? Are there busier days than others, or is it pretty much, you know, consistent throughout the week?
No, there's busier days. I mean, definitely
mm-hmm.
Friday, Saturday are the busiest
mm-hmm.
days always.
Sense, yeah.
But, yeah, but it's pretty neat. I mean, you know, you open your shop, and you know, you have kind of your regulars that come in,
right.
people that you'll know, you know, what kind of flavor liquid they like and what level.
Mm-hmm.
You've got new people coming in that you know, you have to basically educate. So you spend some time with them, and basically teach them about the, you know, system and what they would need based on their smoking levels. But it's a pleasant, you know, it's like our store, you know, they have music playing. It's not annoying music at all, but, you know, it's nice. You walk in, you feel comfortable. It's very relaxed, laid back atmosphere. It's just like going to the beach.
And that's like, you know, and that's how I guess you even came up with the whole concept. You know, I remember you telling the story in the beginning, you know, is that you found, you know, other places that you may have went into in the past not so welcoming and not so inviting. So I get the feel, you know, that, you know, when someone comes into this store, they are getting that welcoming and inviting feel, aren't they? You know, which I think is, again, as we were mentioning earlier, so important. What about the locationship? I mean, how much space is required, and you know, what do you see like as like an ideal location?
Our primo space would be about 1,200 square feet.
Okay.
But you could do a store in 800 square feet, and then we've got like 1,600 square feet, but it's a lot of that is wasted. Well, one of our stores has 1,600. One of them has about 1,000. So,
okay.
We've kind of tried to just experiment with both ends of the spectrum, but both work very, very well. That's the space requirements. What I forgot your other question. I'm sorry you asked me to.
As far as location, I mean, is there like an ideal location? you know, I mean, would you want to be like in a strip mall? Could it go, you know, in a mall, like a kiosk situation? And again, it sounds like I know you're experimenting with different types of locations, but, you know, what do you look for?
Probably the optimal location would be in a strip mall with a, like a grocery store anchor or
right.
a Walmart type anchor.
Right.
What we find is the places, the strip malls that people go to kind of on a daily or every other day spaces, so grocery stores, Walmart, things like that, work very, very well. Standalone, one of our corporate stores is a standalone store, and that works okay, but I would say the strip mall location works far better. And the other thing is that it doesn't have to be A-class real estate at all.
Right.
Our first location is in kind of B-class real estate, so it lends itself well to a lot of different locations, but the main thing is it kind of needs to be in a place where people are coming on at least a weekly basis to do something else anyway. So,
yeah, that would make sense. That's fantastic. What's the best way for our listenership to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Is there any websites they can go to, any phone numbers that they can call?
Yep, they can go to our website. It's www.palmbeachvapors.com. Or they can call our corporate office at 918-949-6699.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Chip, for coming on the show. You know, I've been researching this franchise for some time now, you know, and I've found it, you know, real fascinating. So I'm going to keep my eye on you guys, and I'd already like to invite you back next year as you continue to grow. I think you have a very interesting product and franchise.
Cool deal. Well, thank you, Marty. We appreciate the interview.
My pleasure, Chip, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919. Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing: helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. The podcast is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 4 years and over 200 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. The nice thing about hosting Franchise Interviews is we're frequently asked to be guests on radio shows and magazine interviews on the topics of entrepreneurship and franchising. And today you're going to get to hear an interview that we did 6 months ago on CBS Radio with Lynn Johnson on her motivational talk show. And of course the topic was entrepreneurship and franchising. And here's what we said. I think you guys will enjoy it.
Hey, did you ever think about buying a franchise? Do you think that now is the worst time to buy one? Or you're not sure whether anyone would loan you money to purchase a franchise? How does the whole thing work? Well, let's find out. We have an expert on the line, Marty McDermott.
Hi, Coach Lynn. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's always great to talk to you. I always feel like it's a World Talk reunion, right? We get together.
I know. We started out, guys, a very long time ago. I think we're some of the only people left, aren't we?
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? But it just, and it seems like yesterday that we started, Lynn. You know?
It really does.
It's just incredible. But it's the success that you've had is just wonderful to watch, though. I mean, it's just incredible.
Thank you so much. And yours has been pretty fantastic. You know, Marty, just over the break, when I announced that you were going to be here talking about franchises, I got a tweet from Alice and a lot of other people, but I selected Alice's tweet.
Oh, good.
Because she says that her family has owned the same bagel shop for over 35 years.
Wow.
But now they're going to have to close because the business has slowed and their debts are too high. She wondered if setting up her own franchises could save their business. So, Marty, I know you're an expert and you host that wonderful show called Franchise Interviews on Blog
right.
Talk Radio.
That's right.
Are franchises for everyone?
Oh, great question, Lynn. It's a deep question and definitely not. In fact, you know what? If I can quote my friend Dr. John P. Hayes, franchising is not for everyone and it's probably not for most people. And when I say that, you know, the first time I heard that phrase, Lynn, I was a little confused because I said, if franchising isn't for everyone and it's not for most people, then who could it be for? You know, it's franchising is really for someone who knows how to follow rules, follow systems. They're not a true entrepreneur. When I say that, sometimes franchisees get upset because they say, what are you talking about? I consider myself an entrepreneur. The entrepreneur is really the person that actually creates the franchise opportunity. And, you know, when you're talking about franchisors or entrepreneurs, they're really, and you know this, Lynn, they're very creative people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can look at something.
They could never follow rules, Marty.
Exactly. And they could just create something out of anything, you know. Franchisees, and it was funny because I was in Virginia at George Mason University on Friday talking about this topic, and one of the topics I was talking about was military being good candidates for franchises because they know how to follow a system, you know. So you really have to know how to follow a system, like to follow rules, and if you can't do that, then it's probably not for you. And so, yeah, it's always a word of caution before getting into franchising.
Now, I know that you say that there are two key factors that should be present before you consider buying a franchise. What are those factors?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of different things. I mean, one is, what do you want the franchise to do for you, Lynn? You know, for example, like I'll give you an example. I like Dunkin' Donuts. You know, I frequent Dunkin' Donuts probably like, you know, several times a week. And as much as I like Dunkin' Donuts and the coffee and the donuts, I wouldn't be a good franchisee for that type of system, because when you buy into a Dunkin' Donuts, you're working some pretty hefty hours.
True.
You know? So one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, what's important to you? You know, you're really taking a deep assessment. And for me, you know, my family is most important to me. So if I wasn't, you know, with my family or my son, like if he has a baseball game one day or whatever it is, I'm going to get very frustrated, even if I'm making a lot of money. You know, so you want to ask yourself, what do you want this franchise to do for you? And you know, what kind of system is the best match for you? There's so many choices out there today, Lynn. I mean, there's like 80 different industries.
Wow.
Franchising. Yeah, a lot of people, when they just think of franchising, they just think of food. But it's actually up to about 80 different industries. There's accounting franchises, there's advertising franchises, there's shoe repair franchises, you name it. It seems like they have it, you know. So you really have to ask yourself, you know, what's the best match for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of research. And, you know, of course you come down to the financials.
Yes.
Too. And, you know, I mean, you know, McDonald's, as successful as it is, it's almost a home run every single time you have a McDonald's franchise. I can't afford one, you know. So the financial aspects are always a big factor as well. I think to go even deeper, I think you need family support. I think that's important as well. You know, I mean, if you're married, I think you have to have that support from your husband or your wife before you get into an opportunity as well, because you're taking them along for the ride with you.
I love that you said that, Marty.
Absolutely.
Do you know what you said? Yeah. You said you need the support from your husband, which would infer that a woman could easily go in and buy a franchise. I love that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's, you can see the influence my wife has on me, too, I guess. She's got me trained, Lynn, you know. You know, and she's a fan of your show, by the way, too, you know. So you can tell I listen, you know. But absolutely. But it's so true. And, you know, speaking of women, Lynn, I mean, they really do make fantastic entrepreneurs, you know. I mean, it's amazing. I think for the first time, you know, I teach for Kaplan University.
Yes.
And we have, in colleges, for the first time, there's more women in college today than there are men.
And they're older as well.
And older, you know. So what does that say to you, you know, is there's a lot of exciting trends that are taking place here in the United States, so.
Now, I wanted to ask you about this because I know that they just announced that even Ritz Camera is going to be closing many, many, many of their stores. And I'm kind of heartbroken about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm an amateur professional photographer.
Right.
But my question is, so how do you know if the franchise that you're interested in is even going to be around in the next 5 years?
Wow, it's a great question, you know, and nothing is ever 100% certain. I will say this, that not all franchises are created equal. And what you can do is, I mean, look at the company's track record for one. You know, one of the things that you can look at is their franchise disclosure documents, and look at the history of the company. Some companies that just started franchising, I mean, they haven't really been around very long, you know,
mm-hmm.
So you're kind of taking a chance in a way, you know, and you can look at how many franchisees they have and things like that. I think there's certain franchises that are always going to be around. I think McDonald's will always be here. They have like 33,000 units. Subway has about 33,000 units. So those ones are pretty safe. It's almost a home run every single time. So there is always that element of risk involved, even when you are buying into a franchise system. You know,
mm-hmm.
Of course, you can look at things like the market and things like that and kind of make your own assessments. But
so, Marty, with all that you know, because I have 1 minute left, and I definitely want them to come and listen to you, because I love your show on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks so much, Lynn.
And I want them to check out your work. It's very, very important. Are franchises still a viable option, even with this economic downturn?
Most definitely. I mean, I think, Lynn, and this is going to sound a little weird, is, you know, one of the interesting effects of the recession I see now is some of the best offers in franchising.
Interesting.
And, yeah, I mean, and I've been doing this 10 years now. I mean, I'll give you a couple quick examples. Some franchisers, what they're doing is they're reducing or dropping a franchise fee for their new franchisees. Now, that's pretty significant because a franchise fee usually goes for about $30,000-$40,000. So they're waiving that. In some cases, there's two-for-one deals where if you buy one franchise, they'll drop the franchise fee for the second one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's really, you know, and that's the effect that I've noticed from the recession is really some incredible deals. Even the landlords right now, and I mean, you've noticed there's a lot of great locations available right now.
Yes.
I think, I mean, you want to get those locations because, I mean, a great location can really overcome bad marketing, you know, and there's going to be a lot of people kicking themselves next year. They're going to say, I should have got into that opportunity last year when they waived the franchise fee, when I could have got this killer location in this particular spot. And, you know, landlords are sometimes more willing to give a great lease to a franchise as opposed to, let's say, Tony Subs, who's just like a regular guy. You know?
So somewhere Tony's saying, hey!
Exactly. Tony's upset. But, you know, so they're really getting some incredible deals right now. I think that this is the most exciting time to get into franchising. But again, you know, to quote you, Linda, you know, franchising isn't for everyone. It's not for most people. You do have to really do your homework. It's not guaranteed every single time. And, you know, not all franchises are really created equal. There are some that are better than others.
Well, Marty, it's a pleasure to hear your voice and talk to you again.
It's a pleasure to hear your voice.
And where can my...
You're great.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Thanks, Coach Lynn.
Where can my people hear you, do business with you, and all those wonderful things?
Absolutely. Go to franchiseinterviews.com. You can hear over, I think we're up to 160 shows, Lynn, recorded up to this point. Yeah, so it really, when I say that number, I mean, it just really, it tickles my spine because... I didn't think that there was going to be a market for this or we'd find, like, a listening base for it. But, I mean, every single month we have more listeners just like you know. So I haven't quite achieved your success yet, but someday.
Well, thank you so much, Marty. And go check him out. Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, my dear old friend from World Talk Radio.
Thanks Marty so much, Lynn. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, prosper.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Here is.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.